Galaxies apart. When they teach about morality or the place of woman, they're galaxies apart. When we talk about life after death and how to be saved, the different religions of the world are miles and miles apart. One of the most striking things for me is a Christmas story. If you read world religions, they say this: try hard, work hard, do all these things, and if you work well enough, maybe divinity, whoever God is, might accept you. That's what they all say. Only Christianity says there is a God in heaven that loves you profoundly, that's been chasing after you, who sent his son to die for you, even while you were a sinner, because he wants your fellowship. He wants to be reconciled to you so much. The religions of the world, work hard, do all these things, meet all these regulations, and maybe you'll be okay. Christianity, God chases after us. He sends us the gift of Jesus. He makes the path for us to connect with God. It's totally different. Christmas is a special, special time of year. Last week we did a bit of sharing about the Christmas story, and we talked about feelings and our guys cope well within the church. And we talked about how Joseph at Christmas time was afraid. And wouldn't you be? If the lady you were going to marry, the lady you love, was pregnant, and an angel says this is miraculous, there's no framework for that. And he was afraid. We talked about Mary traveling heavily pregnant for 3 to 5 days on foot. No evidence of a donkey. On foot. How hard would that be in stony, hot days on windy roads and treacherous roads? We talked about the innkeeper. So busy and so stressed out doing good things, looking after people, that he missed the point of Christmas. He missed seeing the child that would split history. He missed seeing the baby that would become the most talked about, the most loved, and the most hated person of all time, the baby Jesus Christ. He missed it because he was so busy. There was one person we didn't talk about, a major character in the Christmas story last week. He was a mean guy. He lived in a palace. He thought he was a really powerful person. And I guess temporarily he was. History says that he would murder and rape and beat up and cheat and lie to his friends and relatives. It was worse for those that he didn't love and care about. What was his name? Tell the person beside you. What was his name? King Herod. King Herod was a terrible, terrible guy. And he thought he had power, but his power was very temporal. I want you to stand with me, please, as I read from the Word of God, Matthew chapter 2, the account of the wise men and King Herod's part in the Christmas story. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Matthew 2, verse 1, sorry. When Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. During this time, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is the child born to be king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was worried, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. Herod brought together the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" And they told him, "He'll be born in Bethlehem, just as the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judea, you are very important among the towns of Judea. From your town will come a leader who will be like a shepherd for my people Israel.'" Herod secretly called the wise men and asked them when they'd first seen the star, and he told them, "Go to the Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, let me know. I will go and worship him too." The wise men listened to what the king said and then left. And the star they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were thrilled and excited to see the star. When the men went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and they worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and gave them to him. Later they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and they went back home by another road. After the wise men had gone, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, hurry. Take the child and his mother to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is looking for your child and wants to kill him. That night, Joseph got up and took his wife and the child to Egypt, where they stayed until Herod died. So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, I call my son out of Egypt. When Herod found out that the wise men from the east had tricked him, he was very angry. He gave orders for his men to kill all the boys who lived in or near Bethlehem, who were 2 years old and younger. This was based on what he'd learned from the wise men. Please be seated. Herod had power, and he thought he was all powerful, but his power was very temporary. He had power to take life. Can you imagine? Just weeks after Christ is born, hundreds, thousands of little boys being killed. The horror of that. He was simply human though, and the human power wears out. Verse 19, we didn't read in Matthew 2, says simply this, Herod died, kaput, finished, finito, Herod died. So he had power for a period of time, but then it was all over and people forgot and people moved on. He was defending his own power. He was concerned about this Messiah that would take over his authority. And because he was so concerned about his own power, his own rule, he missed out on meeting the Christ child. He missed out on worshipping as the wise man did. He missed out on finding out where real power comes from. You see, friends, I believe Christmas is all about power and action. It was God's power that invaded humanity, and divinity was born as a human child. It was God's power that changed the natural laws for that miracle to happen. It was God's power that foiled the plans of a powerful ruler named Herod. It was God's power that orchestrated over 400 prophecies to be fulfilled in Jesus. It was God's power who personally communicated to his people and guided the wise men and Joseph to safety. Christmas is all about God's power. Because God became human and lived a perfect life, he could die in our place so we could enjoy peace with God. Christmas is all about power. And I want to remind you this morning, friends, as we finish off this year and we look forward to 2020, that God wants you to walk in his power next year, and you can walk in his power next year. Psalm 68 said, God gives power and strength to his people. You're made for a life of not just temporary living and people forget you, but you're made for a life where you can partner with God to impact families and individuals and cities and nations for the kingdom. And the impact of that will go on long after you and I have gone to heaven. You and I can count on God's power when we feel afraid or uncomfortable or stressed out or too busy. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. Paul writes, 3 times I begged the Lord to make the suffering go away. But he replied, my kindness is all you need. My power is strongest when you're weak. You know, one of the best, greatest miracles I had a part of was when I was sick and I wasn't well and I had very little faith. And God said, pray for this person with a back problem, and they were instantly healed, instantly healed. Another person who had tunnel vision going blind, and God said, pray for them. And I had very little faith, and I was under pressure, and God instantly healed the person. When we're weak, but relying on him, that's when God turns up. When we think about God's power, as it was revealed at first Christmas, and I just want you to live in that power this year, to think about his power today and to live in it. A couple of quick points about living in God's power daily. Firstly, God doesn't turn up and move in unless you invite him. God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And if you want to see God move in your life, in your family, in your business, in your relationships this year, God will not push his way in. He won't make you comply with what he wants to bless you with. He'll wait for you to humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. I need you to be involved. I need you to come into the situation. Secondly, we need to stay plugged in. Anybody get an electrical appliance for Christmas this morning? Any toasters, hair dryers, any electrical appliances? No, it's interesting. Mostly socks and other things too. Electrical appliances look great on the shelf, don't they, friends? You know, they're brilliant. You look at your toaster, you look at whatever it is, your TV, and it's good and it's sitting there, but it doesn't function unless it's plugged in. It's exactly true with Christians. It's exactly true with you and me. Unless you and I are reading the Word and listening to the Spirit, and we're relating to God relationally, the power of God that He wants to pour into our lives daily, it just isn't going to happen. We've got to stay plugged in. Jesus put it another way. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. Admit that you need the Lord. Ask for His help daily. Stay plugged in relationally. And number three, step out in faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1, most of you know off by heart. It talks about it's faith that pleases God. It's that assured hope that we have that God is going to turn up and work things for good. Back to the Christmas story. Herod appeared powerful to all those people around him. And Joseph appeared the powerless person, but who was really powerful? Where did the miraculous take place? Where did real world-changing change take place? In Joseph's life, not Herod's life. Joseph gets a message from an angel. I want you to marry that virgin. This is supernatural. What does Joseph do? He says, yes, I will. Joseph gets a message from God. I want you to leave and go to Egypt quickly. And straight away, Joseph does it. And he's protected. He's in Egypt and Herod finally dies. And he gets a message, go back home. It's safe to go home. And he obeys straight away. It's one thing to know God's real. It's another to walk relationally with Him, to stay plugged in. But the way you're wired and made to live is to live by faith. God is going to whisper truths to you throughout this year. He's going to whisper things to you today. And you get the choice of being a Joseph and experiencing real power or just being an ordinary person. A Joseph hears the voice of God and straight away obeys. If we live that way, doesn't matter what we're going through, doesn't matter what we're experiencing in our life, God is going to turn up. And their lives are going to be supernatural. We pray for our politicians. We respect and honour kings and queens and principals and policemen and policewomen. We respect those folk that do have power, but it's limited, just like Herod's. But the reality is, if this Christmas day, we'd look at the Christmas story and say, this is a story about the power and the amazing nature of God. And we leave this place and we say, God, I'm going to plug in and I'm going to walk by faith. The year ahead for you can be the best year you've ever lived. Doesn't matter how dodgy the knee is or what the hips are doing or whatever else is going on in your life. If you're loving on the Lord and you're connected and you're hearing His voice and you're obeying, you're going to make a difference this year in a way that humanity can't describe. And it won't just affect you. It'll affect those around you, the people you work with. And it'll affect your kids and your grandkids. It'll affect the generations to come. With God, you can do extraordinary things. I just want to mention something really quickly before we watch a video clip and close. And that's simply this. Sometimes at Christmas Day, people turn up at church and they maybe miss church for the rest of the year. Sometimes you go to a home and you visit a home of your family, your relative, and people love the Lord in their home. And they compel you to come along to church on Christmas Day. And I understand the love and the motivation behind that. But if you're here this morning and you say, look, I've never really connected to God. I know information. I've heard things. I've studied different religions. And I want to know God. And I want to walk with God. I want to stay connected to His power. In the foyer is a little booklet called How to Connect to God. Just how to become a Christian. And I'd be thrilled to bits if after the service you'd take one of those home with you. Friends, I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to watch a video clip. And we're going to close with the video clip. So after the video clip, no prayer. The service is finished. And the reason I want to close with the video clip is that these two people are giving the Christmas story as a spoken word. And I want us to go out of this place to our Christmas lunches, to our relatives, to our friends, to the beaches, to our barbecues, with a Christmas message so clear in our minds. Let me pray. Father, the gospel is full of power. And we stand amazed afresh, Lord, that you would leave your glory and comfort in heaven to be born as a babe. And Lord, there's things we don't fully get our heads around, and incarnation and Trinity and things, but they're true. And the biggest truth we do understand, God, is this, that you're for us and you love us and you're working things in our favor if we just trust in you. So, Father, as we sit and watch this video clip, as we go home to the various things we're going to do, Lord, may it be with a fresh desire to stay connected, to stay trusting, and to walk each day by faith in your power and the Christmas power that's been made available to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.